Shining as the sun, we've no less days to see.
Aren't you grateful? I said, aren't you grateful? Woo!
Spirit of the Lord is
Overflowing this place, fill our hearts with your.
Amen. Amen. Is that true?
Yes.
This is what I want you to do. Don't clap. Don't clap. Don't clap. Please. Just hold for a moment, please. Very important. What I want you to do right now, it just struck me as we sang it, was I want you to pray right now with me for whatever miracle you need. Can you do that with me? Lock into that miracle that you need in your brain right now. Are you locked onto that miracle that you need? Later in the service, we're talking about being unstuck, and some of you might need a miracle in some area of life that you're stuck. But let's pray together right now that God would bring the miracle to you. Do you believe He can do that? Do you believe He will do that? Come on, let's pray together, Father. And we're going to come back. This wasn't the game plan, but we're going to come back, Lana. We're going to sing that song again right after we pray, and then we'll go on. You locked on the miracle that you need? Lord, right now, some of us, we need a healing miracle. Some of us need a financial miracle. Some of us need a relational miracle. God, some of us need, God, emotional, mental. Some of us need spiritual miracle. God, we're here, and today we admit our need for you. But your spirit has power to do that which is unimaginable. And we look to you in faith and in confidence. The Spirit of the Lord is here, and we ask you humbly and yet full of faith and with confidence that you do the miracles that only you can do. Are you with me, friends? And just say this, God, I'm just trusting you. I'm trusting you. A miracle is something you can't accomplish, friends, but He can. We are trusting you for the miraculous. The impossible, the improbable, the unthinkable. And all for your glory. Sing it one more time and engage your heart fully. The Spirit of the Lord is here.
Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence.
Come on, sing it. Lift it up. Make it the cry and the prayer of your heart. We're asking for His kingdom to come, His will to be done. We're grateful that You're the living God. You rule and You reign with might and power, and there is nothing too hard for You. You're the God who delights in loving us and providing for us and displaying Your great power on our behalf. And we thank You for that. Thank You, Lord. Shift gears with me. They've had the guys and the boys are... We have a program called Royal Rangers. It meets on Wednesday nights, kind of like Boy Scouts, but lots better because it teaches them the Word of God. It makes it a lot better. They've had a great time up there Friday and Saturday. They're coming home today, but they're probably in like one of their final sessions. Let's pray that God just... They sent me a video last night of the altar service, and I have spoken at this event, so I know what it's about. The whole front of that outdoor event was loaded with boys and with men seeking God. And Matt told me, he said, it's probably the largest response that they've had in years. Trusting God for great things in the lives of boys and men. Father God, as they wrap this Ranger Fest 2018 up, God, may there just be a capstone, as it were, upon it. We thank you for all that you've done in the hearts and the lives of all that attended from all across southern New England. But we are trusting you that, God, in these final moments, that, God, that you'll leave the best for last. You'll touch their lives in some unmistakable way. And that, God, you'll bring them back here safely with stories to tell of how you touched them. Thanks, Father. We trust you now. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Sometimes we stand a long time around here. If you ever get tired, just sit down. Nobody's going to think anything about it. Okay? Really? Really? Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to ask. Not yet. You're jumping a gun on me. Go back. Go away. Just teasing Jessica. I would prefer to have you come, Jessica, rather than what I have to do right now. Because what I have to do right now, I don't want to do. I have to throw some people out of the church. No, I mean, I have to say goodbye. Landon, Ashley, come on. Would you come on up here? And
I'm not leaving, so.
You're not leaving?
He can go by himself.
He can go by himself. Any of your kids, if any of your kids are here, they can come up here too. Okay? They have 8 kids, so they always have some kids somewhere. And some kids are here, and some kids are not here, and some are here, and some are not there. Come on, all of you, come on, come on. This is half the family. Okay.
Want at
Ranger Fest? That's great. Yeah, that's Rangers up there. All right. Lana, I'm going to give you the microphone.
Thank you. Check, check.
Just
habit.
You did a great job this morning. Thank you.
It's not over yet.
Yeah, thank you. No, not over yet. Yeah. I'm sure you're not going to wreck the last song. It's fine. So, in all seriousness, you guys came here via the Navy for school, right? That's why you came, right?
Yeah, back in December for 6 months school.
Okay. But now you're leaving us and you're going where?
Going to Bremerton, Washington.
I think I know where that is. Been there a few times. Now, you guys, these guys are going to be with us kind of like for the rest. This is their last Sunday. They'll be with us for the picnic. Yay. And next Saturday. But let's just, before we pray for you, and I'm going to ask the deacons that are here, if you come and join us, and we just want to bless them as they go. How did you guys find Seaport? Lots of great churches in the area. How'd you find us?
Well, we always start by finding the Royal Ranger Church.
There so, you go.
You were the only one in the area with Rangers. And what's funny is when we were here 6 years ago, that was the church that we were going to try to go to, but we were only here for 2 years or 2 months. And we just ended up not going to church. So we would have been here 6 years ago if we had not been lazy. But so we always try the Ranger churches first because it's easier to go to church where the kids go to Rangers.
Yeah. Well, it's been great for us. We've loved having you here. It's killing us that you're only here for 6 months and you're leaving. And that's always painful for us. But we want to bless you guys as you get ready to go. And I know you guys are not used to all the moving and shaking, but we do want to bless you as you go and pray for you. And do appreciate everything.
And can we just get some like intercession? Because we've been to urgent care like 5 times in the last 2 weeks for random ailments as we're trying to move.
Wow.
And
yeah,
we're headed
pray.
There this afternoon for another one.
Oh my gosh. We do need to pray. We're going to do that in just a moment. But is there anything else? And why don't you guys take half a step forward because the deacons can't get quite behind you. So now they can get behind you. All right. Now that's good. Is there anything you guys would like to share with us as you go? Anything? And then we're going to pray. And we're going to pray for you.
I would just like to thank everybody for welcoming us here. It's very difficult for us every time we move to find a place and then to actually get connected. And this was the church we've had the easiest time with, like getting involved and actually meeting people that cared about us and shared our interests. So good on you guys for actually doing what churches are supposed to do. So thank you.
Woo! Amen. 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 And this isn't a criticism. Please understand this. The difference between us and some other churches is this. Again, I'm not cutting anybody. It's just simply that many times churches will say to military families, you can come here while you're here. That's great. It's good to have you here. We don't do that. We say, we want you here. And we want you to be part of this place as much as you can be while you're here. And we know you won't be here forever, but that's okay. We love it while you're here. That makes us a little different. But we want to bless you guys. Let's really pray for protection and healing on them. Can we do that? That's the urgent need. But we also, you know, those of you in the military, you understand this better than anybody, all the shifts and changes and all that goes with it. So anyway, you know what? Just I'm going to ask the deacons just to kind of lightly put their hands on you guys, and let's pray together. Lord, thank you. I really don't know who benefits the most from this arrangement. The people you send in via the military, I don't know if it's them or it's us, maybe both. Lord, you have blessed us with this family. It has been such a joy to have them here. And it's painful in one way to watch them leave Gran. We hope that things will connect there in Kitsap and we'll go on from there. But Lord, we're so grateful. All that they've invested in this place, and their time and their lives and resources. And Lord, God, they have just blessed us, and we're so thankful. But right now, I'm asking you in Jesus' name that you would protect this family, especially as they're making this transition. They don't really need any more trips to urgent care, the emergency room. They don't need any more of those trips. And God, I pray that your hand of protection would be upon them. They'll be able to get all the things they need to get done. Packers will do what they need to do. And God and everything is going to go to the place it needs to go. And all the changes and adjustments that go with military life, God will go without significant issue or problem. May your hand just continue to rest upon them. In Jesus' name, we pray and we trust these things for your glory. Thanks, Father. Amen. Amen and amen. Again, they'll be around this week. You'll see them at the picnic, but make sure you say goodbye to them before they get out of here. All right, would you give them a round of applause? Landon, it's Ashley, we love you guys. Thank you. Woo! Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. God bless you guys. Now, Jessica.
Good morning, Seaport. I'm Jessica McGargle, and I am the director of our student ministries here. For those who do not know what that is, it is grades 6 to 12. So it is a really important group, and it is a great and rewarding position. I want to take 10 seconds to kind of just talk about it so you guys knew, but it's a great and rewarding position. It could be such a blessing, and it could be such a trying thing. And the reason why is because at the age of 12, most morals are already established. Okay, so if I'm getting these kids in and they've got an established moral ground already that is good, then I can build upon it. If it's not, it's the hardest thing to break through. So we have been working really hard to plan all these get-togethers with the youth, but I just want you guys to know that it's beyond just a get-together, that there's a lot of prayer involved, there's a lot of planning, and we're trying to allow God to move really strongly through these events. So when you guys see an event on there for your youth, don't just go, oh, it's just another pool party, oh, it's just a bonfire. There are some powerful things that are happening at these things, so definitely make it a priority to get them there. So this Friday, we actually specifically have one. It is our bonfire at my house, 7 to 11, so I'm hoping to have like 20 crazy teenagers running around my property so I can explain it to the neighbors. So just make sure you sign them up, have them bring friends. It's going to be a blast. We're going to do burgers, dogs, some worship. It's going to be a good time. So we're going to take a second to welcome any of our visitors today. So if you are visiting Seaport for the first, second, or third time, we give you a round of applause. We're excited that you're here. And if you open up your program, there's a connection card in there, and you can just fill that out, and following service, bring it up to the Welcome Center, receive a gift, and make sure to check that box that says receive e-news if you'd like to know what's going on at Seaport. We're also going to take a second to get our smartphones out, log into Facebook, take some selfies, because we've been partnering with Build On, so we've been providing bricks for schools for this month, and I believe this Thus far, we've had 39 bricks. Yeah, 39 bricks provided. So every every six check-ins provides one brick. So we need six of you for sure to check in today, but way more than that. And now we have Josiah coming.
Good morning, everybody. I am Josiah Callender. I'm the intern here at Seaport Community Church, and right now it is time to receive our tithes and offerings. So I'd like to ask our ushers to come up and get ready to receive this. This morning, we're going to do something called the offering declaration, which is something we did here when I was growing up. I don't know if we've done it in a long time, but it's just a great way to build our faith and encourage ourselves in what God is doing in our lives and here at Seaport. So if you look up at the screen, if you guys would repeat after me, that would be awesome. So repeat after me. Lord, as I give my tithes and offerings today to you, I am believing you for jobs or better jobs, raises and bonuses, benefits, sales and commissions, settlements, estates and inheritances, interests and income, rebates and returns, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, finding money, bills paid off, debts demolished, royalties received, it's offering time, hallelujah. Dear God, we just come to you today, and we pray that you would just bless these tithes and these offerings that we're receiving, God. We know you want to do some awesome things here at Seaport, and we're just so glad to be here, God. So thank you. Amen. And now if you'd look at the screen, we have some great things going on here at Seaport, so the opportunities will be up above.
Awesome. Good morning. I'm Melissa Jones, the director of our Children, Family, and Missions Ministries. It's nice to see everyone here today. Hoping that this rain is drying out, going out to sea, right? And our Rangers are coming back dry instead of wet, right? They've had some crazy wet Ranger Fest weekend. So I think they had a pretty good weekend this weekend, so that's awesome. So you guys saw in the announcement loop, there's lots of stuff going on here at Seaport. One of the big things coming up this Saturday is our church picnic. If you have not signed up today, when you leave, there's a table in the narthex where you can sign up to say, yes, I'm coming to the picnic. You can sign up to play softball, sign up to be part of our cornhole tournament, and there you go. So make sure you stop by. Let us know that you're coming. Also, I think we are still looking for a few people that have cornhole boards. So if you have one, if you can mark it on that sheet, that would be awesome. Also, you saw up there Wednesday night theology, speaking in tongues. That's going to be an awesome one. So come ready with questions and ready to receive. And also, Activate and Quest are both coming up. So they're both our classes for new believers, and also a class to jump in and get involved in ministry. So just be on the lookout for those. Are starting in August. So we're excited about that. All right, it's kids moment time. So all of our kids age 3 through 5th grade. Come down for a few moments. Our friends out in Kitsap, you guys can hop out of your seats as well. So come on down, my friends. Come in close. Jackson, come here. Jackson, little Jackson, come here. Come here. This little one, he's one of the younger of the Sherritt family. So I saw you reaching for the microphone on stage. Did you want to talk in the microphone? So the really funny thing is last week after we did our kids' moment Father's Day episode, I taught preschool and I went in the room and all the preschoolers were like, I want to go on stage. I want to talk on stage. So stay tuned because I'm going to plan something for them and see if they will do something up there because they were all pretty adamant that they wanted to do that. So come here, buddy. I saw you reaching for the microphone. You're one of my friends. It's your last Sunday. Do you want to tell our friends something? They can't see you down here, though. Come here. Right there so they can see you. Can you tell me, you're in our Rainbows class on Wednesdays and our preschool class on Sunday. Can you tell your friends what's one of your favorite things to do when you're at church? What's one of your favorite things to do? Do you like to play with your friends? Yeah, say that loud. Say, play with my friends. So this was a trial, I guess. Can you tell everyone that? Are you going to be shy? Remember last week you were so brave. That's okay. Here, do you want to hold my microphone for me till I'm done? All right, there you go. All right, so we're going to pray for our friends, okay? All right. Lord, I thank you for all of our friends who are here this morning. God, I thank you for the boldness that you've given each one of them, Lord. God, one day they will be speaking up here, Lord, and sharing your word. God, I have faith and know that you have plans for every single one of these children, God. So I pray, Lord, as we go to our classes this morning, God, that you would be with us, that you would help us to receive everything that you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray together. Amen. Amen. Also, our teens are released, 6th through 12th grade, to room number 7. You ready to jump off? 1, 2, 3.
Life is better when there's room to breathe. Part of that, please grab those and take them with you. They don't do any good sitting in on shelves and baskets around here. Not one bit of good do they do with that. Okay, so be part of that. That would be awesome. All right. So today is also a newcomer's cafe. If you are brand new here, you got a couple of choices. I'd like to encourage you to slip out right now. Don't worry, just step on somebody's toes. It's okay. And what you're gonna do is you can go right out the back doors, and then you're gonna go around to the fireplace room. There's some refreshments there. Melissa will meet you there. And this just you're gonna have some time to find out a little bit more about this place, kind of kick the tires, ask some questions, meet some people. Very informal. So you can just slip out and do that. If you prefer to stay in here, that's fine. All of Seaport's Sunday morning services are not only a broadcast on live stream, but they are recorded on live stream, so you can go back and watch them. They're also podcast as well on our website, so you can always pick it up there as well too. We used to provide CDs, but people don't know what CDs are anymore. It's wild, isn't it? Anyway. So you can jump, go out and be part of that right now. That's through the end of the service. Be part of that, or you can stay in here if you'd like. It's just our way of getting to know you and you knowing us a little bit. All right, let's jump in. I don't know. Have you ever been really stuck? How many of you have been stuck in a snowbank? You know? That's not so bad, you know, although when you're the only one around and you can't get your car out, that's a problem, you know? But those kinds of things are not so much a big deal. But I think many of us know what it's like to be stuck in some sort of life-defining situation. And that's what I want to look at today. What do you do when you feel the pressure and the frustration and the pain of being stuck? We're going to take a look at, I'm going to kind of group some things into three broad categories and scenarios, and we want to take a look at those. And you might say, well, I'm kind of stuck in all three. I'm stuck in one. You may be stuck in none. But let's find out. Let's find out as we take a look at what it means to become unstuck. The first of these is what I'm just going to simply call a difficult situations. I mean, sometimes, I don't know, this has probably happened to most of us, sometimes you find yourself in a place of life that you never thought you were going to be. You never intended to get there, but somehow you find yourself in a place where you're stuck, you can't move, there doesn't seem to be any good answer to get out of, and your mind is filled with thoughts of, how do I get into this mess? How am I going to get out of this thing? Am I going to be stuck here forever? How long is this season going to last? And you're just stuck in that zone. And then you begin to think these kinds of thoughts. How can I get out of this with the least amount of damage? Your brain goes all kinds of places. I'm going to kind of take this first scenario and I'm going to break it up into two basic ways that we get ourselves into very difficult, stuck places. You know, now, it's really about how you got stuck to begin with. Now, you might, whatever you want to call it. You want to call it dumb, selfish, immature, ignorant, stupid, rebellious. A lot of us get ourselves stuck in difficult places because of poor choices. We bring it on ourselves, so to speak. You know, King Solomon said this. He said, a prudent person foresees danger and makes adjustments and makes precautions. The simple person goes blindly on and suffers consequences. Now, most of us know the pain of getting ourselves into a difficult situation just through maybe we were stupid. Maybe it was just an oversight. Maybe we never saw it. And now suddenly our lives have become very complicated. Honestly, this happened to me on Wednesday. Debbie and Lindsay and Felix checked in, no big problem, and Bradley got to TSA, and my friends at TSA. And TSA goes, no, you can't fly. I'm like, what? Believe me, I've been there before. Come to find out, somehow or another, no one really knows how, my daughter's reservation had her maiden name, not her married name. And TSA wouldn't let her on the plane. And nobody would help us. No one. They missed the plane. And that just crescendoed a domino effect of things. And we haven't even got it resolved yet. And they come back this week. And sometimes, all because of one little oversight. And a lot of us have been there. Sometimes it's a little oversight. Sometimes it's a big, sometimes, you know, we just, nobody can tell us anything and we run into it. And sometimes it's a poor choice that gets us into trouble, you know? Wisdom says to be careful going into any kind of choices because of the complexities and the difficulties that can result. You know, I mean, wow. I'll never forget. I was trying to leave Ghana, West Africa. And I'd already come to the airport once, and they said, no, you can't fly today. And suddenly Richard, Roy, and I are like, oh my gosh, now what are we going to do now? Well, we figured that out and came back the next day. And we are in the gate. We are in the gate waiting to board the plane when suddenly they shut the gate, shut the door to the jetway, and they look at all of us and say, you can't fly today. This is Accra, Ghana, West Africa. And all of a sudden, many of the passengers that were now stranded, you could feel the air light up. I turned to Richard and I said, this is not going to go well. We got to get out of here. And it didn't go well. As a matter of fact, there was an altercation. Police came and it got ugly. Sometimes you got to look and say, wait a minute, wait a minute. It is so extremely important. If you will live your life by this simple little adage, it will tremendously help you. It is easier to stay out of trouble than to get out of trouble. Is that true? It is easier and better sometimes just to step back and say, wait a minute, let me think this thing through. Because if you get into something, that it can get complex and you're burning all kinds of time and all kinds of energy. So sometimes it's just poor choices that get us into problems. There's no way that you're going to beat all of them, but you can beat a lot of them if you'll listen to wise counsel and ask God for wisdom and help and direction and be a little cautious and maybe drop your pride and ask God for strength to figure out what you got to do now. But there's another part of the whole difficult situation scenario. I mean, obviously, we get ourselves into trouble because of poor choices. You know, that happens to us. But sometimes we are in very difficult situations because we are exactly in the will and the plan of God. Did you know that? Now, some people think, well, if you're in the will of God, everything is going to go wonderfully for you. No. No. As a matter of fact, many times when you're in the will of God, you've got all kinds of challenges and all kinds of problems. That doesn't mean you're not in the will of God. Often it means that you are in the will of God. I mean, sometimes we're there doing what God wants us to do, and we feel so incredibly stuck. Like, this is not going like I thought. This isn't what I wanted. Somehow in my heart, I feel like this is what God wants for me, but it's not going like I want. Do you know how many times God and I have had that conversation over the last 29, almost 30 years? I'll be honest with you. So sometimes I felt like, you're just stuck there. You're just stuck. But then I go in my head, wait a minute. That's my emotions. But in my heart, I know I'm right in the will of God. Doesn't matter. I'm in the will of God. And in the will of God, there's all kinds of challenges and issues and problems. You know, and the very worst, and you know, sometimes it could be a job, it could be a marriage, you know, it could be a career choice, it could be anything. And you say, well, I really felt like this is what God wanted me to do, but it's not going anywhere like I thought. And that's often the case with the will of God. The worst possible thing for you to do at that moment is to jump out and run away. Because you will not get out of pain, you'll create a lot more. Amen? In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul talks to people that, you know, had a very low view of marriage and getting married and getting out of marriage. The Corinthians had a very low view of marriage, and so he talks to them about the importance of being faithful, being married for the right reasons, how to conduct a proper marriage, because they had no clue in their culture, really. And so he's trying to help them learn how to be faithful and not jump in and jump out of marriages. And so 1 Corinthians 7 is rather interesting, some of the things that he says, you know. And he says that sometimes you're in a marriage where things aren't going exactly the way you want. It's what God intended for you, but that doesn't mean that everything is going wonderfully and perfectly. And in this, he talks about the importance of trusting God for healing and for reconciliation, even though it's difficult. It's a good lesson for a lot of us today, isn't it? The Apostle Paul, you know, here he is several times. I mean, he's preaching the gospel. He's doing what God wanted him to do, and often at great cost. He's doing this, but he ends up in prison, ends up not knowing what's going to happen to him. In his heart, he wants to get out of prison, and he wants to travel, but he's stuck in prison, you know? The book of Genesis carries the story of Joseph, an amazing story of a young man who has these dreams about what's going to happen to him in the future. But instead of these dreams of an amazing future, he finds himself in a horrendous situation, being sold. He was human trafficked, you know, into slavery, and then finds himself in prison. And I have to imagine over those 13 years, Joseph must have gone, what happened? He must have thought, I'm stuck here in prison. There's no way out. Little did he know, if you know his story, what that would lead to. An amazing story. And of course, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He felt stuck. Felt stuck. I mean, in his heart, and we'll look at this in a moment, he wanted to be free from what he knew was coming, and it was going to be horrendous. But he releases himself to the will of God. Sometimes when you're stuck and you're right in the will of God, at least there's a peace that's in your heart. But what do you do when you're stuck there in the will of God? What is it that you do? You say, I know what I'm supposed, I know this is where God wants me, but boy, this is tough. This is difficult. You know, I mean, let me give you a few quick lessons on what to do if this is you. The very first thing, it's okay to admit. It is okay to admit that you really don't like what's happening. It's really okay to do that. I mean, Paul did. There are times you can see in Philippians 4 where he felt like he was content with what was going to happen, even though he didn't know what was going to happen. But there are other times when you have this sense of he's frustrated that he doesn't want to be there and he wants to be traveling and doing what he feels like he's supposed to be doing. But he has no choice. He's stuck. He's stuck. You know? I mean, you know, you just got to admit that. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and you know, Debbie and I were there in January, and we saw the garden. There are a couple of olive trees there that they believe were there 2,000 years ago when Jesus prayed there that night. We saw the rock, supposedly he thrust himself upon and prayed on. But no one knows that for sure. But look at what it says. Look what Matthew says. He went on a little further and he bowed with his face to the ground, praying, "My Father, if it's possible, let this cup of suffering be taken from me." Sometimes when you're in the will of God and it's difficult, well, the only thing you can think about is, God, can you get me out of this? Can you get me out of this? You know? And God doesn't answer. He leaves you there. And you're like, but notice what Jesus does. How did he finish this prayer? He says, "Yet I want your will to be done, not mine." Often what you have to do is just simply accept. Hang on, this doesn't sound, it's not as depressing as it may sound to some of you. Accept the will of God with joy for that which is best. That's the big challenge, is when you're stuck and you're doing the will of God and you just feel stuck and like you're going nowhere and things are painful and they're difficult. You've got to realize that God is working that thing out in a way that you can't possibly grasp. And to run from that is not going to facilitate the amazing things that are going to happen in and through your life. And I've walked down this road with the Lord many times. And so it's very interesting to me. When you get to the last chapter of Philippians, one of the chapters that I love that chapter. Paul's in prison. He doesn't know what's going to happen to him. Released or executed, doesn't know. But in this chapter, he talks about being stuck and what to do with it. And notice how he handles it. He was a master at handling difficult situations. And in chapter 4, verse 4, he talks about rejoicing in the Lord. Verse 5, he talks about knowing that the Lord is near. 6 and 7, about the importance of prayer with thanksgiving. Verse 8, he talks about thinking about right things. Verse 9, practicing about what you preach. 10 and 11, learning how to be content in all things. 12 and 13, knowing that you have strength to face whatever comes. 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, and 19, about the God who provides. Powerful verses of Scripture to help you to know when you feel like you're stuck, how to keep your head screwed on straight to accomplish the will of God. Sometimes the best thing for us is to be stuck there. And I'll tell you why in a moment. Notice what else Paul says there. He says this. He says in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, "So we don't look at the troubles that we see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things that we cannot see will last forever." You have to trust him that God is producing a great story that you can't really see or understand yet. You've got to know that sometimes the difficult grinding of the place that you feel stuck in, you're not actually stuck there. God's got you there. He's holding you there to refine you and to hone you so that he can eventually elevate you. Amen? It feels painful. And it is. But it's preparation for that proverbial next level in your life. And you know what? In 1 Corinthians 7, we see the value of what Paul teaches to them about being faithful in their marriages. Even when it's difficult. Even when, you know, even when they want to bail out. He's talking to Christians. He's simply saying, yeah, I know some of you want to get out of your marriages. It's difficult. I get it. I understand. You're married to an unbeliever and you just want to walk away. And he talks to them about that. And we see the benefit of learning how to be faithful even in a difficult marriage. God's working out a great story. And Paul, we see where God, this hard driving, this A personality, this high D, this guy who's just driven to get the gospel, God shuts him down, puts him in prison, because I don't believe half of what Paul would have written, I don't believe half of the 13 books that Paul wrote would have been written if Paul had been allowed just to traipse all over the Mediterranean Sea and share the gospel. But he was shut down, and he wrote letters because that's the only form of ministry that he could do besides seeing people periodically. He writes these letters, and of course, they were captured and copied and put into what we call the New Testament. Remarkable. Joseph, what he thought was the end, sitting in prison, separated from a dream for 13 years, falsely accused, just trying to do the right thing, stuck in prison. And on those days, wondering, how could he have imagined, I don't know what day of the week it was, how could he imagine on a Tuesday when things seem so bleak that on Wednesday he'd be put as second in charge of all of Egypt under Pharaoh himself and would save not only Egypt but his people and other countries as well from famine? How do you figure that out? What he thought was where he was stuck. He was in the will of God. And that long season of preparation led to a sudden elevation. And Jesus wanted out. He knew. He was facing crucifixion, the worst possible form of execution the Romans could devise. Excruciatingly painful over a protracted period of time. He knew he was facing that, but he knew that it wasn't that so much as becoming the sin of all mankind. Becoming it. That's what he was facing. He said, this is going to be taken from me. Yet not my will, but yours. Realizing that God had a plan so far greater, so far greater. And sometimes in the middle of our heartaches and our difficulties, when we say, can I go on? We step back and we say, you know what? This is right where God wants me. I don't understand it all. I don't get it all. I don't like it all. But I trust God that he's big enough that he's going to use it for his glory and my benefit. Amen? But it isn't always like that. Sometimes we find ourselves, you know, in very difficult places, places of temptation. Places where, you know what, that temptation just keeps calling your name. That thing just keeps a siren call saying, come over here, come over here, come over here. Your life will be better if you give in to that. And sometimes we're locked in places. That temptation is going to grab us and take us down. What do you do when you're stuck in a place where you can't seem to escape the temptation that's beckoning you and calling your name? You know, and every attempt at freedom has failed. And you're stuck living this repeated cycle of shame and guilt and anger and disappointment and... What do you do with that? What do you do with that? I recognize that I'm somewhat simplistically drawing attention to a complex thing. I get that, you know. But let me see what I can do to help you here when you're facing a temptation. You know, I mean, honestly, the first thing is you've got to remember, no matter what the temptation is, the promise of the Word of God is that God will make a way of escape. Amen? You've got to get that into your head and into your heart. And this verse of Scripture that Andy's going to bring up right now, that we don't really catch all the picture behind this, but let me just tell you the picture that's encapsulated in these words of a way of escape. It's the picture of an army that comes into a canyon. This is the imagery behind it, that comes into a canyon and suddenly finds the rear shut off, and they find themselves in what looks like an ambush, and there's no way to escape, and a certain death, and they're done. When suddenly someone finds a narrow passageway, the other end of the canyon, with which the army can get out and be saved. And while they're fighting, they can find that way out. That's the picture behind those words. And sometimes when you feel like, I am stuck, there is no way out, this temptation is going to kill me, it's going to take me down, you have to realize that, and you have to look around, and although you cannot see it, there is a way of escape that God will bring to you, so that as that temptation is raising, you can say, wait a minute, I know that this will not last and that God is going to make a way, and I've got to find it. And I've got to find it. And you have to remember something, though. If you whatever you choose to feed will become the strongest in your life. In the book of Romans, it talks about this. Is, you know what? If you feed your spiritual relationship with God, that is what will give you strength to overcome temptation. If you feed your lust and your greed and your attractions to whatever the temptation is in your life, that thing will eventually become so strong, it will become your master. Whatever you feed will become your master. And that is why if your spiritual life is low and weak and you don't read the Word of God and you don't pray, you don't spend any kind of time with the Lord except show up to church once in a while, you will not have the spiritual strength to stand against the evil one, because you have probably fed the lust instead of feeding your spiritual life. Whatever you feed, become stronger. Become stronger. Realize that. But the honest issue here is you're going to have to crucify those desires. We all have fleshly desires, but please understand something. What Romans 6 says here, and it's a powerful chapter on understanding temptation and death to sin and what Christ has done. We know that our old sinful nature, we were crucified with Christ so that sin may lose its power in our lives. You know, I've been to lots of funerals, and I've conducted quite a few myself. And I've looked in the casket at lots of deceased. I have never seen one of them be tempted to do anything. You could hold up money in front of them and say, if you just sit up, you can have this money. Because they're dead. They cannot respond. They're dead. The imagery that Paul is speaking here is this, is that we died to sin. Christ conquered sin, gave us the power to die to sin, so that when temptation comes our way, you know, you can look at temptation and go, don't mean anything to me, I'm dead. I'm dead to that, sorry. Don't mean nothing to me, I'm dead. So maybe you need to lock that in your head, and that temptation comes at you, you can just go, nah, don't mean anything to me, I'm dead. But I know we're still alive. And the Apostle Paul recognized that too. And he said to his young protege, Timothy, who was in a difficult place and who was tempted because of the pressures that were on him to do some things that maybe he shouldn't do. He knew that there's, you know what, there's a time when you just got to get out of there. He said, I'm dead to sin. But you know what? You don't put yourself in the place either, do you? If you are overcome, if you've got some sort of strong temptation in your life, and that thing is going to hold you in place, the more you give into that temptation, the greater it's going to become. This is what I tell you, and I haven't said this in a long time. Here's the power of sin. Sin deceives you into thinking that it is not harming you. At the same time, it creates an appetite for even more sin. That's the power of sin. You know what? You just got to get out of there. You just got to simply say, you know what? If I stay here, this thing is going to take me down. I don't know how many times through the years I've interacted and I've worked with you, and some of you have told me different kinds of stories and different kinds of temptations. And you've told me, you know what? I'm stuck in the very place, often it's a job. I'm stuck in the very place where this temptation is raging, and I don't know, how am I going to handle this? And generally, it's a workplace attraction that often goes badly. And I said, well, I'm going to tell you what you're going to do. And we go through a series of steps, but I said, this is the most critical thing that you can do, is that you've got to do what you can do to get out of there. And if you cannot get out of that particular place, if you cannot flee it, if you cannot get out of it, then you need to pray that God will supernaturally step into that thing and bring a separation between you and this temptation or you and this person. And you would be surprised. And I say, I'll teach you how to do this if that's you. And you'll be surprised at how God jumps in there and brings a separation. I'll never forget, I was working with an individual and they were struggling hard in this area and they had crossed some lines and some boundaries and it was not good. It was bad, way bad. I said, well, this is how we need to pray. This thing will be cut off. And suddenly, that person was completely removed from the other person and put into a completely different department, into a completely different place. And they went from seeing each other constantly every day to not ever seeing each other at all. And sometimes you got to run, and if you can't run, you got to say, God, you have got to cut this off because I cannot. Things hold us back. Sometimes it's temptations. Sometimes it's just difficult life situations, whether we step into them or we're doing the will of God. But there's a third one I want to talk to you about briefly here. Sometimes we're caught in what I call lifestyle patterns. We're held in place, not able to move forward because of some pattern that's in our lives. And sometimes we don't even recognize the pattern. A biker friend of mine, said to me, you know, I'm getting married. I'd like you to officiate the ceremony. I said, oh, hey, cool, man, thanks. Great. Well, I got to know him a little bit more. And I said, you've been married before? Yeah, 5 times. I didn't do that ceremony. He got married anyway, but I didn't do it. I wasn't going to be partaker in that. But sometimes there are lifestyle patterns that we don't even know about ourselves, that we carry on in life, carry on into relationships. Sometimes we're stuck into something that we don't even know is a pattern. And they can be patterns that maybe it's a simple thing, like a pattern of procrastination, a pattern of lateness, a pattern of excuse making, pattern, or then it begins to get more serious, a pattern of lying, deception. And sometimes we don't even recognize that these things even exist, you know, in our lives, a pattern of using whatever defense mechanisms. And we don't even realize that those patterns are shutting down potential opportunities and keeping us locked right in place. And sometimes we deny that they're there. You know, sometimes, I mean, we were laughing on Tuesday at the staff meeting. I don't even know how it got started, but somebody brought up, you know, that they were going to get me a T-shirt with one of my sayings on it. And I'm like, what? And so I said, well, what would be on that? And so, you know, some of the staff started jumping in with things that they're used to hearing me say. Now, I know you want to know what those are, don't you? I'll tell you a couple of them. They know that if I hear something that's kind of fake or phony or, you know, I don't necessarily think it's the right thing, I'll say, oh, that's bogus. They'll hear me say that. You know? Or they also know this. You know, if I hear something that's extremely difficult and harsh, I'll say, man, that's so brutal. Let me say that. They know this, that if they bring some idea to me and I look at the idea and I hear the idea and I don't think it's a very good idea, or they'll say, I'm going to go do it like this. And they know that if I say, that's hokey, don't do it. That's some Pastor Bradisms, all right? And I have a bunch more. And this conversation didn't end on Tuesday. It continued in the Jeep on the way to the airport as my wife continued the conversation. She doesn't know she had a one-way ticket. But anyway, just kidding. And she was saying things. I'm like, I say that? Yeah, you said that. I told you said that. You did? That was the kind of conversation. Even at 40 years of marriage, you still have interesting moments. Let me tell you. Okay. Anyway, good stuff. But sometimes we're, sometimes it's just funny things like that. But other times, it's pretty serious stuff, patterns that keep you locked down, locked in place. And sometimes you don't even know it. You don't even know it. You know? I mean, sometimes it's some behavioral thing that we're not aware of, some thought pattern. It just keeps us locked right there. And God's trying to get our attention and say, look, I got a lot more for you, but you got to deal with this thing. You got to change this thing. I'm not talking about a sin issue. I'm just talking about a pattern that's developed in our lives. It just keeps us locked there. Maybe it's a pattern of negativity. I mean, you're like the most negative person you know. You think you're positive, though, because you always think that you're seeing the, you know, you're the truth teller. No, you're just negative and critical. Sometimes it's like that. And we get locked into those patterns. Locked into those patterns. What do you do if you think you're locked into some sort of pattern that's keeping you from stepping into what God has for you? What do you do with that? Here's some simple things. Here's simple things to do. The first thing is this. You got to put yourself in a place where you hear the truth. You got to put yourself in a place where you hear the truth. What does that mean? Three quick things on that. First of all, you got to make sure, whether it's this church or whatever church it is that you go to or are a part of, you got to make sure, is that church preaching the truth in love? Do they tell the truth in that church, regardless of how tough it is, how hard it is to hear? Are they telling the truth spoken in love? Or is it just vanilla fluff every week? Some people say, I want to go to a church where I feel comfortable. No, you don't. You want to go to a church that makes you a little uncomfortable every now and then. Because it crosses what you think. It challenges you. That's what you want. Make sure you go to a church where the truth is taught. And sometimes you go, ouch. You know? Make sure that you hang around with people that will speak the truth and love to you. Don't select your friends based upon, you know, how great they think you are. Don't select your friends because they only say nice things to you. Make sure that you're around people that are mature enough to say to you, you know what, dude? That's bogus. Somebody that loves you enough to call you out and say, you know what, I don't think so. Somebody that loves you enough and here's something else you might hear me say. You know, and I say, I'm going to push back on that right now. Somebody that loves you enough to say, you know what? You better rethink that, dude. What I'm about to tell you is 100% true, although it sounds ridiculous. I don't remember who this was. There are certain things I just choose to forget. I had a family that was fairly new to Seaport, and they actually said this to me. You're going to say, you're making that up? I'm not making it up. It's the truth. They said, well, Pastor, we haven't been here very long, but we're thinking about leaving. I'm like, oh, really? Okay. Well, why is that? They said, well, you know, we've been here long enough so people are getting to know us. Yeah, and it gets very uncomfortable when people get to really know what we're all about. I'm like, are you really saying this? It's true. And then they went on, they said, yeah. So what we do is we go to churches, but we only stay there long enough until, you know, once people really get to know us, then we leave and find another church. You're thinking I made that up. I didn't make that up. It's the truth. And it's what they did. Well, I thought, this is what you're going to be doing. You're never going to beat that pattern. You're going to be stuck there forever. Forever. Put yourself in a place where you can hear the truth. Be humble enough to receive it regardless of where it comes from. I love what Proverbs says, correct the wise and they will love you. But it also says, be careful. If you correct a mocker, you're liable to get beat up. Isn't that interesting? Are you humble enough to receive correction however it comes? Or do you have a reputation that says, oh, you can't tell them anything? Are you serious enough that you want to change? A couple last thoughts before I sum it up. If you're stuck in a place of a pattern and you know the pattern, or maybe you don't even know the pattern, maybe you need to pray. In a few moments, we're going to close the service. And maybe you need to pray like this. God, give me wisdom to get out of this pattern. Or God, if there's a pattern that's locking me down that I don't even recognize. And I've had those. And had God give me supernatural revelation into how I operate and why I did certain things. And showed me supernaturally a pattern that was in my life that I didn't even know was there. It had locked me down. Maybe that's you. Maybe you need to say, God, give me revelation and help me understand if there's a pattern. And if you know the pattern, God, give me wisdom to know how to break it. You know? I mean, you're going to need to pursue some wisdom. James 1:5, you've heard that plenty of times around here. Hey, how about and then create a simple change, a simple plan to change? Change is never easy, no matter how much pain you have going on in your life. You know, and you got to realize something, friends. Many times when it feels like, you know, like God has just whacked you upside the head, you know why he's whacked you upside the head? Because he's been calling your name over and over and over and over and over and over, trying to get your attention, and you just flat out ignored him, so he's had to up his game. That's why that happens. A number of years ago, big story, let me bring it to a critical point. A number of years ago, I was in a difficult place, and there were lots of criticisms and accusations lodged against me. And I said, well, I've got a couple of choices here. I've got a couple of choices. I can be mad and bitter. I can do that. I can write them off as a bunch of jerks that don't know what they're talking about. I can do that. Or I can learn and be better and more effective as a man, as a husband, as a father, as a pastor. I thought, It's my call. What am I going to do? I took all the information, and there was a lot of it. I took all the information, I sat down, and I wrote out everything that I thought was true, and I dismissed everything that I thought was not true. And I'm going to tell you, it took some humility because it was brutal hard. I came away from that experience, I came away from that with a list of 17 items of things I felt like were legit and I needed to change. That was not a good day. I put them on my phone and I would walk Bluff Point day after day after day saying, God, help me with this. God, help me with this. God, help me with this. God, help me with the hatred I feel toward them right now. Oh, God. You know, God, help me with, and all these feelings. 17 things. It was brutal. And I kept saying to myself, I don't want to be stuck in this pattern. If there's a legit pattern here, I don't want to be stuck in it. I don't want to be stuck in this thing. I want to become what I can be. I want to be as effective as I can be for the kingdom of God. I want to be as effective as I possibly can be for Seaport Community Church and for my family. I don't want to be stuck. Easy no. Brutal yes. Worthwhile, absolutely. Absolutely. You have a choice when you're stuck in patterns. What are you going to do with it? You're going to grip self-discipline that the Lord gives. He's given you the power to discipline yourself and to bring the change that you need. As if you don't. I've met plenty of 50, 60, and 70-year-old very immature people because they chose to stay in the pattern. Let me sum it all up as we close. I want the band to come right now. And I'm going to ask you to respond in just a moment. You're going to be standing across the front. I want the ministry team, the altar team, I want you to come. Stand across the front. And I'm going to ask all of us to respond. All of us who need to and want to. Maybe you're in a difficult situation. Maybe you just did something dumb or unintentional. Now you're in a complex mess. And you just need God's grace and wisdom to get out. Then you come. Maybe you're in the will of God. You're doing what God wants you to do. But it is so hard that you're saying, I just need God's grace and strength just to trust Him regardless of what it's feeling like right now. Then you come. Maybe you're facing a temptation that's just pounding on you, drilling you, beckoning you, and you're saying, I cannot give into this, but the pressure to do this thing, you need to come and pray that you enter not into temptation. And lastly, maybe you're stuck in a pattern. Or maybe you don't even know. But you know what? You just keep cycling like this. You keep cycling like this. You're stuck in a pattern, all right. And you need to say, God, help me to understand the pattern and give me the grace and the strength to break it and to move forward. Are you ready to respond? We're going to close right now. Why don't you stand with me? We're going to pray together, and then I'm going to ask you to come, all of you who want to. Okay? Ministry team, I need you, if you'd come forward, please. And we're just going to pray. We're just going to pray with you, very simply. And you know what? This is what's going to happen. Some of you are going to receive strength. Some of you are going to receive wisdom. Suddenly, it's going to be like the light bulb effect, but that's going to be God's Holy Spirit giving you revelation into your situation. I wasn't going to tell you this, but let me tell it to you very quickly. I'm the oldest son of four, and oldest sons tend to be, they can be very, very driven people, and I'm the poster child for that. And so that's what's going to make the sermon on July 8th about rest very interesting for me, because I'm like the biggest hypocrite on the planet when it comes to that. So that's going to be real interesting. Come and watch the hypocrite. Why don't you say to your friends, our pastor's a hypocrite. Come and watch him preach. He'll be like, what? You say, well, he said it. I said that in jest. Maybe you should. Maybe that would work. I don't know. Yeah. I was at the first encounter I'd ever been at. I wasn't leading it. I was just at it. The Spirit of God spoke to me. And I'll put it in my own words. He said, the reason that you drive as hard as you drive. And see, I still haven't conquered this thing, and I'm working on it. He said, the reason you drive as hard as you do. I thought I was trying to please God. God said, no. You're trying to please your father because you think you need his approval, even though he's been dead at that time, 15 years. It was a moment like I will never forget. There was a big pattern going on in my life, and I didn't even know it was there. I knew it was there, but I didn't know what was driving it. And if I successfully beat it, I'm not there yet, to be honest with you. That's still working on that one. So maybe that's you today. Whatever prayer you need, come on, let's wrap this service up. You just come and let the Lord touch you and heal you and give you the grace and the strength. If that's you, come on, don't hang out. You know, don't say, I don't need any prayer. Well, if you don't, that's fine. But I mean, if you do, then come on right now. I want you to be free to step into what God has for you. Hallelujah. Let's sing this song. We can sing this song, and then when the song is done, I'm going to dismiss us. And you can go on your way, or you can hang out and receive prayer, whatever you'd like to do. Landon, sing this for us and lead us in it. Come on. It sounds great. Look, come on, lift it up. Victory over the patterns, the temptations, and the difficulties. Victory, victory. No longer held captive by the patterns, the temptations, and the difficulties of this life. Free. The truth shall set you free. The truth shall set you free. If you need prayer, come on and receive it. Because when this song is done, we'll dismiss.
Borrowed for 3 days. His
Because Jesus Christ is resurrected from the dead, we have a new life. Amen? He conquered sin, death, hell, and the grave. He conquered our emotions so we can trust him even when things are difficult, and help us find a way out when life has become complex. He can give us the strength to stand and be dead to the sin of giving in to temptation. And he can empower us to break free from the patterns that threaten to hold us in place and keep us from being all that we can be. Aren't you grateful for that? Let's just take this moment and let's just express thanksgiving to the Lord for his power to free us. Lord, we thank you as we get ready to close here, and as we're closing, God, thank you for the power. We don't have to be stuck in patterns that hold us down. You can set us free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We don't have to be controlled by the temptations. We don't have to give in to them. We can say no to all ungodliness. We can say no to that. And if we're in a hard place, but we're right where you want us, God, we can respond and we can give you, God, the response of joy. And if we find ourselves in a difficult place just because of some bad choices we made or whatever, Lord, we know that you're going to give us wisdom and you're going to help us find a way out. So we commit all these things to you, Father. You're the living God. You walk with us and we walk with you. Be glorified this day, I pray, through Jesus' name. Amen? God bless you. You can go. You can hang out, whatever you want to do. The band is continue to play. If you need prayer, come and receive it. If you need to go, God bless you. Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to Wednesday night. We're going to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and what this tongue's all about. What is that all about?